Hello everyone. You're listening to Poetry, the Memoir of the Soul. I am Barbara Leonhard, your host and poet in residence. The table is set. Come on in and join me. Let's have some tea or coffee. It's just you and me today. Settle in from some poetry and prose on the topic, Seeking Light, Mindful Presence. How's it going? I hope you aren't as scattered as I am. My mind is going everywhere. What am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat tonight? What's on Twitter? Oh, let me make some notes for a new podcast. Oh, back to food. What do I need at the store? I make a list while scrolling through my email. Delete, delete, delete. Oh, I have some Facebook notifications. Cute! I love how kittens play. Oh no, this post is so traumatizing. Why do people have to post photos of themselves next to slaughtered lions? Oh gosh, that reminds me of the time when you fill in the blank. And so it goes with Facebook posts. Hysteric, manic, ecstatic, dramatic, apocalyptic. My mind is going wild with memories of the past, then flitting back to the future about my schedule for the week. Where is that calendar app on my iPad? I can never find it. Within the hour of waking up, I'm rattled by all the stimuli and distractions. My emotions are on a roller coaster with all of the drama and trauma online. However, I have so many family, friends, and groups I can keep in touch with online that I cannot seem to close those accounts. Then I would have to deal with loss. That's the fear anyway. Then my sweet mind says, don't worry, you'll feel saner. But once I accept that argument, my devious mind says, but then where will you post your poetry? No one will find your work. And so it goes on and on until I lose focus altogether. My mind shifts to options and solutions. Then I experience anxiety over the outcomes to all the choices. How can I quiet my mind and find stillness? Maybe some peace. If your experience is anything like mine, your brain looks like the image for this podcast, which, by the way, is digital art by my sister, Martha Harris. You can find her works of art on Martha's Artistic Flarings or artisticflarings.blog. By the way, her image shows up on the Podbean app, but not on the online link. Oh my, more stressing challenges for me to face. Her image, Seeking Light, illustrates the difficulty with finding stillness. We have to calm all the activity of our mind, the distractions that we create, the bombarding images all around the elusive points of light. Yes, we create the mental chaos with our choices to scroll on our phones and iPads, sit in front of the TV, and entertain our minds with stories that prevent us from finding the stillness. That is, by just being in the sacred space of the now, the present moment. Doing, doing, doing. We are just thinking of ourselves and not examining our feelings. We are in a daze with no sense of being, teaches Thich Nhat Hanh in the 2015 film Mindfulness, Be Happy Now. Our thinking can spiral out of control and cause stress, which affects the body, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. In the same film, Deepak Chopra says stress is linked to every illness, so it behooves us to relax and find ways to be still, maybe even contemplative. The Buddha, who lived from around 480 BCE to around 400 BCE, wrote a poem called Thought, which addresses this dilemma with quieting the mind and the consequences of having an untrained mind. By the way, Mara, who is the antagonist in this poem, is the demonic celestial king who distracted Prince Siddhartha, or Buddha, from attaining enlightenment with visions of beautiful, seductive women representing thirst, discontentment, and attachment, desire, greed, and passion. The poem is Thought. As fletchers make their arrows straight, the wise make straight their wavering and unsteady thought, which is difficult to guard and difficult to restrain. Like a fish taken from its watery home and thrown on the dry ground, our thought quivers all over in order to escape the dominion of Mara. It is good to control the mind, which is difficult to restrain, fickle and wandering. A tamed mind brings happiness. Let the wise guard their thoughts, which are difficult to perceive, tricky and wandering. Thoughts well guarded bring happiness. Those who restrain their mind, which travels far alone without a body, hiding in a cave, will be free from the restrictions of death. If a person's mind is unsteady, if it does not know the true path, if one's peace of mind is troubled, wisdom is not perfected. There is no fear for the one whose thought is untroubled, whose mind is not confused, who has ceased to think of good and bad, who is aware. Knowing that this body is like a jar and making one's thoughts strong as a fortress, attack Mara with the weapon of wisdom. Protect what is conquered and stay always aware. Before long, unfortunately, this body will lie on the earth, rejected, without consciousness, like a useless log. Whatever an enemy may do to an enemy, or a hater to a hater, a wrongly directed mind will do greater harm. Neither a mother nor a father nor any other relative will do so much. A well-directed mind will do us greater service. I found this poem on www.poetseers.org under Lord Buddha. The last stanza may help explain why we see so much trauma and bullying online. People who are attached to their fear, shame, and worry online are detrimental to communication and happiness, whereas a well-directed mind will do us greater service, Buddha teaches. How can we bring the mind back to the body? Thich Nhat Hanh asks. By making every present moment sacred, mainly with concentrating on our breathing, all we really have is the now, this present moment. We learn to breathe mindfully, which calms us down and allows our cells and tissues to heal. The past is gone. So dwelling on the past often causes depression, anger, shame, regret, and all kinds of negative emotions. I should have. Why didn't I? I was mistreated when. I am so ashamed that. You can fill in the blanks. Likewise, pondering the future can create anxiety and worry over outcomes. Will I succeed? Will I fail? Will I marry? Will I have a good retirement? The emotions most related to stress and illness are guilt, shame, and fear. And stress, as I said, causes all disease and illness. To transform these negative emotions into positive ones, Thich Nhat Hanh's advice is to focus on whatever we are doing at the moment. Right now I'm washing the dishes. Right now I'm walking mindfully. Right now I'm eating an apple. Right now I'm writing a podcast. and do so without judgment. Observing the self without judgment is the highest form of intelligence, he says, even when we notice negative attributes. Right now I am sad, I am jealous, I'm afraid, and so on. He teaches that to understand what is in the moment, we look deeply into the nature of it. Mindfulness nurtures concentration, which in turn promotes insights and liberation. He calls this a creative act, and he explains that observing others' suffering is, in fact, a spiritual act. Poets practice mindfulness because they notice what is around them and describe it. They hold pain with loving words, much like a mother would a crying baby, which enables the readers to relate and maybe even heal, because the pain has been noticed and spoken of. When I write a poem about what I am experiencing in the moment, the poem seems profound in its simplicity. Each moment can speak volumes. In this next poem, Until the Thaw, the scene of the snow on the juniper and squirrels scurrying on the branches take me inward. My insight is that I am one with this present moment and consequently with all the beings surrounding me. I feel less lonely and isolated, quote, behind the glass, quote. Until the thaw. When it snows and the evergreens glisten with the weight of frozen rain, I stay with them behind glass, studying how the snow traces each branch, how it settles on the old juniper's thick, sprawling, gangly arms, highways for squirrels scrambling to nests. I dream under the canopy of the juniper limbs until the sun heats ice for tea. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches that if we sit with ourselves in present time, we gain insights into the source of our fear. We become aware and thus enlightened. Most importantly, we nurture compassion and receive grace. In this poem, Autumn Song, I describe leaves as children growing up and needing their mother less. Many women can relate to the grief felt by the tree, watching their children drop away one by one to lead their own lives. But the poem shows hope. Spring will bring abandoned mothers new potential. Autumn Song. When leaves fall, do they cry as they release their grasp from mother's skirt? Their lives soaked in sun and fed by rain. Their mother, protective, her branches, their home. How does she feel when her bounty loses grip? Her children, the glory of her color burst, their song to us, their poetry. Now they bed our paths in crisp wind play and reveal sky gray with snow. Autumn is mother's heart opening before resting and donning her spring garments for Easter prayer. A fellow WordPress poet and my other sister, Cynthia Katie Stanton, describes how grace resides in each present moment with her poem, Grace Shower, which you can find on her WordPress blog, becomingandbeholding.com. The full name of her blog is Becoming and Beholding, Putting the Words Around the Unfolding. I like this title because seeking light is a process of gaining awareness and presence to our life, which, as she states in this poem, provides a shower of grace if we pay attention. Grace shower. Be watchful in the weather of life, for as your experiences show up, their effect can either dampen and chill you or bless you with warm peace. So much depends on where you stand at the time and if you are awake or not. Your life can be a challenge, that is true, and also the point. For the challenges teach it and also preach, if we are present in the pew and looking upward and inward for understanding. Be watchful for the weather of truth, which will come and go, like the wind which gives us waves to ride until we learn how to balance on them. And when we are ready to ride, having built up our core, the rain of grace will shower down upon us, gently cleansing us with new realizations of what is true. And in this baptism of insight, we are made new again by the healing that has finally arrived. To Cynthia, the process of unfolding in the present moment is a conversation we have with life itself, with our presence to the smallest of things. Yes, there, she says in the next poem, we are needed. That split second of recognition connects us. If we blink or fail to pay attention, we miss this connection. The result is grief. As with presence, so can love be hidden. We are needed to elevate both with our attention, our mindfulness and focus on the now. In that way, we can heal. Her poem, We Are Needed. It takes just a moment to pause and let go, to notice. Presence always waits patiently for us. She is found in the smallest of things, the slow drip of water off a rock, which holds the river bank in place. Presence is there. The thought that gives birth to the word that spawns a tear. Yes, there. In that moment, between the reach of your hand to the lifting of another. Or when the homeless man catches your eye and a generous smile blooms. There. How short our time is. We squander presence like we waste water. We forget to look, to hear the slow drip, to speak the unspoken word. We get lonely in this poverty of connection. Sad, isn't it? This slip of a rose through the grasp of our fingers, we ignore the dropped flower and miss out on the bouquet, the colors, and then we grieve the loss of a flower to cheer us, its brilliance unwitnessed. Love is like this too. It can hide beneath. So let's elevate the presence and the love too. For without them, we aren't even here, and we are so needed. Poet Stephen Fuller, who is managing editor of GoDogGoCafe.com and author of his own site called FullBeardLit.org, wrote this next poem when he was 25 years old, when he was seeking stillness on Chaussee Creek in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He says reflecting back on this poem reveals the kind of person he, quote, was trying to be all along, end of quote. This poem also gave him insights on the Odyssey and Joseph Campbell, who wrote Hero with a Thousand Faces. I imagine a young man full of possibilities and challenges that accompany building a life, not just any life, but a unique life. That one peaceful, still moment told him he didn't need to compare himself to others. This realization relieves him of unrealistic guilt and shame many young adults suffer from in finding their worth. Silent on Chaussee Creek. Silent on Chaussee Creek, a peacefulness so complete, the voice of each bird, nameless to me now, is as lucid as my own inner song. Perhaps the respective beauties are incomparable comparison, resides in peacefulness and thus unnecessary. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches that finding stillness can take us to the source of things. He meant the cause of our pain and suffering. However, stillness takes poets, in particular all writers, really, to a higher plane, a realm of truth. It can be personal truth or a universal truth. One morning, upon awaking, I didn't rush out of bed. I wanted to savor the quiet. I was lying on my side and my hands were touching. Or were they? I suddenly had an insight that there was a space between my hands, and no matter how closely together I pressed them, the space seemed vast. I think in physics class I may have been taught about this phenomenon. However, by being still, I actually noticed. This experience took my imagination back to creation itself in a series of images. The space between. The space between holds its form when we touch, for there is no touch, just the space between. Vacuous space. Our molecules float suspended in God's exhalation. They expand to hold our souls. Our touch, an illusion of stars. Cosmic molecules reach through our heat, that breath of the fire of first light, the space between creation. So staying in the here and now with my insight on the space between put me in touch with God, with creation, and with grace. Thank you for listening. This is Poetry, the Memoir of the Soul, with Barbara Lanehard, your host, writer, producer. You can find my poetry on WordPress at extraordinarysunshineweaver.blog. I shared my poems, Until the Thaw, Autumn Song, and The Space Between. My gratitude for the original digital art, Seeking Light, by my sister Martha Harris. You can find her works of art on Martha's Artistic Flarings or artisticflarings.blog. My gratitude to my sister, Cynthia Katie Stanton, who is an ordained Presbyterian minister and hospice chaplain, for her poems, Grace Shower and We Are Needed. You can find her services for spiritual care, weddings, funerals, and spiritual counseling online at her website, cynthiakatiestanton.com. Cynthia Cady, C-A-D-Y, Stanton, S-T-A-N-T-O-N.com. And her poetry can be found at becomingandbeholding.com. My gratitude to Stephen Fuller for his poem, Silent on Chaussee Creek. His work can be found on fullbeardlit.org. Fullbeardlit.org. He is managing editor of Go Dog Go Cafe, where writers gather. You can go there at godoggocafe.com. Check out both sites. You can promote your work every Monday and promote other writers' work every Thursday. I also read a poem by the Buddha, Thought, and you can find more examples of poetry by Buddha and other poet seers on poetseer.org. If you would like to contribute poetry to this podcast, you may submit it to me in a Word document attached in an email to me at melosmom@gmail.com, M-E-E-L-O-S-M-O-M. On the subject line, indicate it is a submission to this podcast. I can fit it into a theme. In the email, include any pertinent information on yourself and publications you want me to promote, especially for the work submitted. And I also might find you and ask you sometime if I can use a poem. Again, thank you everyone for joining me. Hey, just leave the cup on the table. I'll take care of it. Know that you always have a friend here. And I hope you stop by again for a visit next time on Poetry, the Memoir of the Soul. Remember that you too can write your own poetic memoir.